This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Two rounds are in the books, and there have been a few notable surprises in both K-League 1 and 2. We go over the most notable things we've learned in the early stages of the 2019 season, including tactical changes, attendances, impressive debuts, and the always wild K2. All this plus your questions in the mailbag in this edition of the K-League United podcast. Hello. Welcome to this edition of the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, and I am joined somewhat as always with regular co-host Scott Whitelock.
The sex appeal is here.
That's right. I didn't introduce you by your proper title. I'm sorry. The new face of K-League United, Scott Whitelock.
Yep, that's me.
That Jordan Mutch interview is just, it's paying dividends for that face of yours.
Yep.
My favorite thing about that is that all of the photos that have been used for publicity for that have your face in the back of his head, whereas Matthew Binns, who's also here, hi Matthew.
Hello.
He was on the proper side of the table getting the player in the shot, but, you know, hey, worked out for you.
Well, I'm the headline act, aren't I? So.
Yes.
Well, we do need somebody to take the bullet that we're undoubtedly due for our John Book smugness. Or our John Book smugness.
I think that's only yours. Shoulder that yourself, mate.
Well, before we get into anything else, I will eat a little bit of crow, and I will say congratulations on being the undoubted winner of the first K-League United Editors Derby. Matthew Binns, his Jumbo Hyundai Motors, he's shaking with excitement right now. Your Jumbo Hyundai Motors, they were not very nice to Scott's Suwon Blue Wings.
No, they weren't. But, I mean, I'm grateful as ever, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the congratulations. I look forward to, I'd say three more, but I mean, probably two more of K1.
Oh boy.
Editors derbies.
Oh boy. All right. Well, I'm calling you the winner on that one because the goal difference and the score margin was a little bit larger than Paul Neitz, Daejeon Citizen, just tearing apart my Jeonnam Dragons and most of my heart. That was... Well, we're going to talk about the Dragons a little bit later because aside from patting Matthew on the back, which, geez, we never do that enough on this show, aside from that, we are here to talk about the five things that we have learned in the first two rounds of K-League, basically just kind of catching up with the leagues, both of them, and seeing where things are right now. But before we get into that, we just wanted to let you know that we're going to be at El Juego Pub watching the AFC Champions League this and next month. By the time you're listening to this, we may have already had our watch party for match day 2, but we will be back there on April 10th and April 24th. So if you're in the Seoul area, unfortunately, we don't have ACL here in Gungido this year. So if you're in the greater Gungido area and you'd like to come out and watch that, that's where we'll be. And it's a pretty fun spot to watch the games.
Yeah, it's lovely. Had two games at once, and one more can we ask for. Two games at once, good beer, good chat.
Not that we would never endorse drinking.
I would, being a Suwon fan. Kind of need it.
Yeah, there it is. So we'll be doing that in April, and also in April we will be at Retro Game Bar for our monthly FIFA tournament, and that one is going to be on Sunday, April 7th. That will be taking place while some of the games are on, but we're going to have the games on TV while we are playing some FIFA. So that should be a fun one there. That's what's going on if you want to meet up with us in person. But if you're interacting with us over the pod or over the interwebs, as it were, we are here today to talk about five different things. And they are tactics, because there have been some interesting tactical adjustments in both leagues so far. Attendances, which in the early season always, it's kind of like the preseason for every fan with their team, where you get that excitement that you know isn't really real. The first 2 weeks attendances in K-League, it's like, oh, but maybe. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about when the bottom's probably going to fall out on that baseball. So we'll be talking about those things. We're also going to talk about new players and some interesting lineup choices, which Scott has already started to slide down in his chair from that one. And then we're going to move on, and unfortunately we have no Paul Neitz with us here today, but Scott's here, so we're going to talk about FC Seoul.
I think you...
Great. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
excellent.
They're one of only two teams in K1 to win both of their opening round fixtures. They sit in second behind the powerhouse that is Sangju Sangmu. We all had that one. But anyway, Seoul does look quite a bit different this year, so we're going to talk about them for a little bit. And then also we're going to be wrapping up with the K2 and how it is just bonkers as always, which is... it's just delightful. And then we've got the mailbag, as always, and we had quite a few good questions come in for that. So let's just go ahead and jump in. And Matthew, I'm going to throw this one to you first because things are going well for Jumbook, as always. But tactically, you have a new manager this year. And, well, there was a little bit in the first week, but overall, what's been your impression of Jose Moraes and his new look Jumbook side?
Well, new is a bit of a... It's probably not the word. It's actually seems to be the same old faces. We threatened in the preseason preview that he might have Kim Chinook out on the left wing, but it seems that he stuck to what Choi Kang-hee was using and was successful with. He is going more for a 4-2-3-1 rather than a 4-1-4-1. In terms of personnel, though, he's only changed one starter, and that's Kim Min-hyuk at centre back. Mm-hmm. He did introduce Choi Yong-jun in the most recent game against Suwon. But for the most part, that starting 11 has been Choi Kang-hee's starting 11. The debutants, the other new signings, they've only really came off the bench in the second half for some cameo appearances.
Right.
The first game of the season and during preseason, he was using only for little bits. He was using some inverted wingers. He actually played Mun Son Min on the right for a... It was a 10-minute spell when Mun Son Min came on and he was on the right and Lopez was on the left before switching them. Because Lopez tended to play on the right. He's played only on the left for Jose Murray. But for the most part, it's business as usual for Jumbook. And I've watched all three games in detail, and at the moment it's hard to pick out what exactly has he changed. It seems that they're just trying to keep the continuity going and make sure they start the season well.
Yeah, I mean, if it ain't broke, right? Mm-hmm. Another team that we were expecting a little bit more from coming into this season, Scott, your Suwon Blue Wings. Are tactics the reason that things haven't been going well there? You also have a new manager at the helm. What are your impressions of things tactically after a couple of matches?
I'd say there are none at all. I mean, EM Seng doesn't seem to know exactly what he wants. He's used three formations during his first two games. He's used 19 players over the first two games, which is absolutely incredible. In the Ulsan game at the start of the season, he used a total of five fullbacks. Half the team was made of fullbacks. The entire back four was made of fullbacks, with a fullback playing in centre of midfield. They went on to have a centre of midfield at the end of the game with John Sejin and Yom Ki-hoon. And if you don't know those two names, well, they're wingers and they were playing in the centre of midfield. Whilst Elvis Saric, probably Suwon's best central midfielder, was sat on the bench.
Arguably their best player. He is fantastic.
He's a great player. He had an absolutely amazing 2018 for Suwon, and he was sat on the bench twiddling his thumbs. Even worse than that, probably, I mean, Yang Sang-min, Koo Dae-yong, Park Hyung-jin, and Song Jin-kyu all started against Ulsan and weren't even in the matchday squad for the game against Jeonbuk. I don't know anything about the injuries. I've not heard anything about them being injured. I think they were just dropped. If they're good enough for the start opening game of the season, then why are they not good enough a week later? And then the Jeonbuk debacle, I mean, it was just pathetic. Before the game even kicked off, the team didn't really have a chance. They were sent out like lambs to the slaughter. Again, with John Se-jin in the centre of midfield, who is a winger, Yu Ju-an in the centre of midfield, who is a striker and has never played that position ever before. And then with Ko Sung-bom, who only got 9 appearances on loan at Daegu last season, playing in the holding role against the defending champions. It are just phenomenal errors. In the Jeonbuk game, he sent out two debutants at centre-back.
Against
Kim Shin-ok, against Lopez. And then played the highest back line that you've ever seen. And all Jeonbuk had to do was drop the ball onto the head of an unchallenged Kim Shin-ok, have him knock headers along all day long. And, Jeonbuk were 3-0 up within 30 minutes. And the game was dead and buried. He brought Adam Taggart on and noticed that he'd actually made a mistake and shifted to a 4-4-2. But again, the center of midfield was Yong Ki-hoon and John Se-jin, who are wingers. It's just phenomenal mismanagement. There's enough good players in that Suwon squad to not get turned over 4-0 by Jeonbuk so meekly and so awfully mildly. He's had a nightmare two games, and I think his job is in the balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a couple of questions come in about managers that are on the hot seat, so we'll get to that one more in the mailbag. And I think Suwon's the most glaring example of some really odd lineups in the first couple of weeks. I think the thing that's really caught me is that a lot of the names that we were really excited about, a lot of the new players coming in, they haven't really had a full-on debut yet. Jordan Much has been used in the second half for the most part for Gyeongnam. Adam Taggart, like you said, has been used as kind of like a super sub. Pesic got in for just some very meager minutes against Seongnam over the weekend for FC Seoul. It's strange because a lot of these guys had the whole preseason, so it doesn't really make sense why they're not getting the starts.
The Much situation I can kind of understand, because when he did play against Shandong, played against Shandong in the ACL, he looked top notch. He looked great, and he, with his recent injury past, he probably can't muster two games.
Sure.
Some of the foreign players aren't getting the starts that they probably would deserve at the moment, and I think that's a theme in K League anyway. I mean, foreign players at first are a little bit less trusted than Korean players anyway. The likes of Pesic will probably get more game time as the season goes on.
Well, yeah, FC Seoul's playing a converted defender up there right now, along with Park Ju-young, who's looking a little bit better. But a team that is playing all of their top-notch players, and that, going back to the tactical side of things, is looking good in the league and in ACL, is Daegu FC. And tactically right now, they have been a counter-attacking team. They were counter-attacking in ACL. But this past weekend, in their home opener in that gorgeous-looking stadium, boy, that looks nice. Mm-hmm. Really looking forward to getting down there. Against Jeju, Matt, you were talking about it. We all watched this game. They were just dominating that game.
Yeah, it was a fantastic opener, really. And they really took the game to Jeju, you know. As you mentioned, they sat back against Jeonbuk the week prior. They approached it how Suwon should have really approached it, or how any team should have approached it. They knew what they were doing, and so what I quite like about Andre, he takes the games for what they are, and he doesn't stick with one system. I mean, obviously, with the moment, doesn't look like Suwon sticking with one system either. But he changes it, reactive to his opponents, and it was a great performance. And I really hope this is the start of something in Daegu. They sold out that stadium, and it's only a small stadium, and we are going to move on to attendances shortly. But just selling that out and playing such positive football, scoring two great goals as well. Edgar and Kim Dae-won, I think, scored the second goal. His second goal was top notch. I really like that. He turned and just far corner, just sent a rocket in there to send the crowd wild. I hope this is the start of something.
Yeah. And Daegu is one of the teams that everybody's been keeping an eye on, along with their ACL counterpart, Gyeongnam. And you know, there have been some people online already talking about this, and I really hope that this is true, that those two teams might be leading a kind of resurrection of sorts of K-League. They are citizen clubs. They don't have a huge budget. They are entertaining. Mm-hmm. They're fun to watch. They play in gorgeous stadiums, small stadiums, and tactically, they're just fun.
Well, they're both doing different things right. What Gyeongnam seems to be doing year after year is getting the scouting right.
Oh boy, yeah.
Whoever's in charge of scouting at Gyeongnam, they found Mark Au, they've replaced Mark Au, and they seem to know what they're doing in that department. Whereas you go to Daegu, Daegu's got one of, if not the lowest wage expenditure in the league, but they are bringing through youth, and they're developing these homegrown players, making sure they get game time, and it's paying dividends for them. And what they both are doing is they're playing different tactics to what the rest of the league are doing. There used to be two. We only have to go back a couple of years ago. Everybody's playing the same tactic.
Yes.
Chelsea's 3-4-3 that every team in the league thought, "Oh, we'll all play that." How's it going, Scott?
Love this podcast. It's great.
But that was
next week in Misery and Suwon.
They're the two teams in the league. They're two other teams in the league that do it quite well. They know their budgeting constraints. Mm-hmm. They know what they can excel in, and they push forward in that department. So Gyeongnam focus on the scouting, Daegu focus on their youth development, and I really hope to see them do well this season.
One thing with Daegu as well, the reserve team coach is also Brazilian and clearly works together with Andre. And then that young talent has been nurtured in the reserve squad and then promoted to the senior squad, which every team should probably do that, but probably don't.
Yeah. Well, and as you say, both of those teams have been playing youth, they've been scouting well, and the K-League coach recently had a piece up on our site talking about the danger areas and how Gyeongnam has kind of shifted their approach this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, they were playing a little bit more out on the wing and lobbing it into Markao, because why not? When you've got Markao on your team, just feed him the ball and things are going to go well. But he's gone this year, so getting into that danger zone, which for the folks that haven't read it yet, is just a little further in from the wings, just on the outside of the boxes and kind of coming out a little bit and playing in shorter, in my opinion, smarter passes, because crosses are a low percentage conversion. Mm-hmm. They are. They always are. But if you can keep the ball on the ground and play smarter passes, then, I mean, Gyeongnam's showing how well that works. And they're scoring goals, which is entertaining for neutrals, but they're also, they're stretching defenses and then pulling it in and using speed and really great off-the-ball movement. Like they're getting a lot right now, and I really hope that we see some other teams mimic this.
I think the key word you use there is speed, and not a lot of other teams actually have the speed that Gyeongnam have, and they don't have the passing guile that they have in the center of the park with Konimoto, who can unlock defenses with one pass.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Gyeongnam are doing so well with that tactic.
Yeah, they're doing well there. And moving on to attendances, that's also an area where Gyeongnam did pretty well in their opener in week one. It looked like it was over 10,000 in the stadium. The reported attendance, in case you don't know, the reported attendance, the figures that we get, is paid attendance. So in K-League, there are a lot of free tickets given away to schools or other things like that. So the number is always off a little bit.
Well, as of last year, they brought that in. So figures prior to 2018 were the full round figure. So there was a lot of criticism of the drop-off between 2018 and 2017 and 2018. But mm-hmm. one of the major factors for that was this: you can only count paid tickets.
I'd like to say that's stupid as well.
I don't get it.
The attendance is what the attendance is. Does it matter about who paid in or whatever? I mean,
mark it down. Write it down somewhere. Yeah, the league should know that. But as far as what you're reporting, the amount of eyes on the match, that just how many people were there, report that.
Well, yeah, I mean, who knows if that transfers to future sales, you know? Right. And it may transfer to somebody goes and buys a kit or something after. So yeah, I don't like to see these lower numbers, but what I find quite interesting is also these lower numbers, there's less free tickets being given out now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of these lower numbers, there's no benefit in the club's eyes to giving them. Take Jeonbuk vs Daegu, the opening game of the season, for example. An attendance of 20,637 paid.
Mm-hmm.
The actual figure was 21,250. So just under 1,000 difference. Now, it was reported in Yonhap News last week that this was the first time Jeonbuk had over 20,000 in paid attendance for the opener of the season. We were at Jeonbuk in 2016 to mm-hmm. watch them versus FC Seoul, where there was an attendance of 33,000. What you're telling me is a third of those tickets were free.
Yeah.
According to that article anyway. So, yeah, it shows that clubs are also now reducing the number of free tickets, which I hope it's got positives and negatives.
Well, I think another example where it paid off was Incheon on mm-hmm. opening day, where Incheon drew in 18,500 on opening day, which, as you reported, was their largest ever in that stadium
mm-hmm.
since opening it in 2012. And as friend of the podcast, Incheon Luke, as he's known on Twitter, as he reported, that's a cool $1 million mm-hmm. in ticket sales for a club that struggles with revenue. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say that Incheon's going to draw over 10,000 all year. Of course not. Of course this attendance is going to fall off. But the positive is there. And like you say, I think taking away the free tickets and the club mm-hmm. knowing that there isn't as much there, they've focused more on ticket sales. And that opening day, that's big for Incheon this year. Even if they never get to that again this season, yeah, that's still a positive. That's still a net positive for them.
I suppose, in a way, even though I do think free tickets is a good thing. When it's used intelligently. And that's the thing. I don't think it has been used intelligently. And I think it has had a negative effect in the terms it's devalued tickets in consumers' eyes. You know, it's like, well, why would I pay for a ticket when in all likelihood I can get one for free?
Yep, just get one for free.
So by getting rid of all these free tickets, so it'll take that Incheon game where you just said 18,000, the actual attendance was 19,222. So that again is just over 700, just under 700, sorry, just under 700 difference between paid and free. So what we're finally seeing again is people are willing to shell out money once again.
And this was on an opening weekend where air quality was very literally toxic. It was not a good idea to be outside. And yet there we were, and a lot of other people came out for it. So the appeal is certainly there. And again, I know it's opening day. I know that it's going to drop off. I know. But you can do it.
Well, it is worth saying that in terms of as opening day goes, this the opening day of the season this year, the average attendance is a 45% increase on the average paid attendance from last year. So if we're talking about paid attendances in general, it doesn't matter if we're going to talk about baseball 3 weeks down the line. If we're taking opening days year on year, this opening day has been fantastic.
Yeah. And again, sure, it's going to drop off when baseball comes in. It is. But I think we just have to take it for what it is. And as of right now, it's a positive step because, like you say, if you look at it year over year, it's better right now. And for a league that needs some positivity, I think, you know, especially when it comes to attendances, I think it's encouraging. We'll see where it is in this summer. We'll see how the Friday night games go. Real curious about those. I'm really excited about those. I think it's a smart idea. Great way to start the weekend. This is something that the A-League's been doing down in Australia for a while. I love the idea of getting out of work on Friday and going straight to the stadium. Love it.
If all else fails, keep inviting the K-pop groups.
I mean, yeah, why not? There are enough of them. Like, we're not running short on K-pop groups.
Well, yeah, I mean, if it works, it works. It should be said as well, Incheon played their second game of the season at home, and there was a over 10,000 drop-off in paid attendance. Right. But then again, when you think about Incheon's average attendance, 8,000 is still not too bad for Incheon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, okay, we can point to Momo Land being clearly a source of attraction for many of those fans, but okay, get them back next week. Like,
well, I mean, it can go up and down because EXID played in Gwangju yesterday, and there weren't many people there.
There were just over 5,000.
I hope people understood my.
I got the pun. Well played.
I hope someone understood that.
It's even better when you call it out and have to explain it. That's how jokes are funny.
The sex appeal is funny too.
Not just a pretty face.
Next week we'll have someone else in Scott's chair. But anyway, we won't. We'll have you back as always. Moving on from attendances, there have been a lot of new players. We talked a little bit about this and how some of them haven't really been getting a full look so far, but there are some players that have been getting out there. And I'll just go ahead and start with someone that really impressed me in week one. He impressed me again in week two. And it is Ikrimjan Alabayev, who is a midfielder for FC Seoul. Uzbeki International looked good in the Asian Games. He looks good for FC Seoul. I love how aggressive he is in the midfield. He's somebody that's not afraid to shoot from all over the pitch. I think he was a little unlucky not to score a goal against Sungnam over the weekend. Caught the keeper way off of his line. Just missed the post. And like, I love that tenacity, but also the accuracy. He's doing really well with it. He did have a really good chance in the opening week and just booted it right at the keeper. But I think more precision is going to come in time for him. But I think he was a very shrewd pickup by FC Seoul to fill that Asian player quota and really looks the part. And I think he's helping own the middle of the pitch that's only going to get better once Osmar is finally in that lineup again. The two of them in midfield, I mean, yeah, well, we're going to talk about FC Seoul a little bit later, but that's got me pretty excited.
I've been really impressed. Well, he's not a new player, but he made his debut for Ulsan on the first game of the season. Kim Bo Kyung, he ran the show in midfield for Ulsan against Suwon, and it was his break from midfield that actually gained the Ulsan penalty for the opener that Junior scored. Also, Polnit's not here, but we're going to talk about Dejan anyway. me and him, well, not actually, no, just only me picked him as K-League 2's Young Player of the Year, Yoon Young-ho. He had a really, really good debut against Ansan Greeners. He created one goal and then scored an absolutely beautiful goal. I think he's going to have a great time in K-League 2.
Mm. Well, I've picked a few for impressive debuts. I was impressed with, whether we can call it a debut or not, Wesley Alex's return to Eland.
No. Nope, that one does not count.
If you haven't been following...
I think it's his 5,000th time switching between those two clubs.
If you've been following Wesley Alex's Wikipedia page, he has gone from FC Anyang for 6 months to Seoul Eland for 6 months, back to Anyang last season for a whole year. Now to Seoul Eland again. Mm-hmm. He scored in round two. He only made a substitute appearance in the first game of the season before the team went down to 10 men, so mm-hmm. he didn't really have time to shine, but he looked good on the ball. And when once Duarte served his suspension after getting that red card,
foolish red card. Foolish.
It might open, it might let Alex have a bit more freedom, I think. I'm looking forward to seeing more from him. I also just like to say Alex Lima as well at FC Anyang. He scored two goals against Busan. And why I chose him, obviously, he was in the K-League 2 last season with mm-hmm. Suwon FC, but this is his debut for FC Anyang. Mm-hmm. It makes me think, was this what we were supposed to be expecting last year?
Yes. And to answer that question as somebody that watched him in MLS, yes.
And why didn't we get it last year? That's the thing. And I think that's probably the manager, Kim Dae at Suwon FC.
When you look at what Suwon FC is doing this year in K-League 2 compared to, I mean, almost everybody else in that league other than the Jeonnam Dragons, which we'll talk about at another time when I have drunk myself into a stupor and can deal with it. But going back to Alex and the player that we're seeing at Anyang, yeah, this is the guy that played for the Chicago Fire for a while, and this is the guy that played even better with Houston Dynamo than he did with Chicago Fire, and he was doing much of the same thing that he's doing with Anyang right now, proven to be a goal-scoring threat every now and again. I think he will be more for Anyang than he was in the past, but yeah, this is the player that we all expected to see last year, which is one of the reasons we thought Suwon FC would do so well and predicted them so high in the table last year. And like you say, I think there might be something in the water or something on the coaches board in Suwon, because they just look like the same team this year. But that's getting off of new players.
Well, speaking of new players that we haven't seen, mm-hmm. I'd like to talk about on the brief debuts we have of John Book's recent signings. I know we can't have a podcast without John Book, but there is good reason for this. One thing, and Scott had pointed out before the podcast started, was about Chae Yong-jun. He mm-hmm. came in from Gyeongnam. He was in the best 11 last season for the league. He had a solid debut against Suwon Blue Wings at the weekend. Looked really good in the centre of the park. I can't wait to see a bit more from him. We've also saw Moon Son-min finally get his goal. And yes, he does do the dance celebration.
Oh, just tear that dance away and bury it.
Yeah, I didn't like it in Incheon. I hate it in Jeonbuk.
The Jeonbuk fans didn't join in yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
They scored a few more goals.
Well, he's not going to score anymore anyway, so it's fine.
Well, that depends. After the Suwon game, I caught up with Jeonbuk manager Jose Murray, and I asked him about players such as Moon Son-min and when can we expect to see them. And, let's hear what he said.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? Yeah. Well, I'll start with congratulations.
Thank you.
You come away from a match with such a fierce rivalry with a 4-0 win. You must be delighted.
Yeah, I am. I am for two reasons. First, because the players, they are extremely happy also. And second, because the spirit that we approached the game was the right one. And the stadium was fantastic. The fans were enjoying, and we didn't see major issues in terms of discipline. So it was a good fair play in the game, and I'm happy for that.
Yeah, and Moon Son-min got his first goal as well for the club today. Can we expect to see him start soon?
Yeah, you know, to start is a question of opportunity. Today he didn't start. In the next game, we don't know. It will depend. But he's a player with quality. He can start any game.
Okay. And you've already touched on this, but many of these players have seen starts in these last three matches. how is the squad holding up with such a busy schedule, and can you envisage any changes for the trip to Buriram next week?
Yeah, it's a professional squad. We have, thankfully, and I'm grateful that that we have such a large squad, and it's always possible to have solutions, different solutions. We will now travel to Buriram. Some of the players, one or two players, I will change one or two players in the trip, and we hope to continue competitive. Next week we will have a K-League game 2 days after we come back from Buriram, so we will need to have all the squad ready to play and perform well.
Yeah, and just one more question. We're still to see much from Adriano and Thiago this season. Thiago got some minutes on Wednesday. Is this a fitness issue, or are they going to be in your plans in the near future?
Yeah, Adriano is still injured, so he didn't recover yet. And Thiago is coming back now from the team, and he will be involved in the next game. So.
Okay, Jose. Okay, so Jose Murray, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Looking to spend some downtime with friends and fellow gamers in Seoul? Drop by Retro Game Bar. Located in Hongdae near Sangsu Station Exit 1, RGB is a retro game-inspired bar where you can play any and all types of games. Test their bartender's drink mixing capabilities or watch a game cast of your choosing. For those with a competitive side, sign up for monthly tournaments including Tekken, Mario Kart and K-League United's FIFA 19 competitions. Follow RGB on Facebook for tournament info and details on other events throughout the month. Mention that you're a fan of K-League United to their hard-working bartenders when you stop by for a starter shot to kick off the evening. Game on!
Back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined as usual by Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And Scott Whitelock.
Hi.
And we are going through the five things that we've kind of picked up on after two rounds of K-League. We said the five things we've learned. I guess the five things we've picked up on would be a decent way to put it. And we're moving on to one that, boy, it surprised me in week one. And it was a nice surprise for me. And it's that FC Seoul look like a team again. That week one performance against Pohang, and obviously Pohang's got some problems right now. I think that not being a strong side was part of it, for sure. But FC Seoul looks to be back in a lot of ways. I don't know that they're going to be challenging for the top spots yet. And some fool in the three of us predicted them ninth in their K1 table predictions that in no way regrets that immediately, but it's a long season. We'll see how it plays out. But they just look like they've got a swagger back. They look like they care again. And I think Paul Neat and I talked a little bit about this in the post-game video that we did, that they just look like they care. They were going for every 50-50 ball. They had tenacity about them. Park Ju-young actually played a game of football. He actually has played two games without just coasting through them this year.
And comeback player of the year.
Comeback player of the year, according to one Paul Neat, yeah. But again, this was... And they fell off against Seongnam. Obviously, that was nowhere near as strong of a performance, but they got the job done. They got 3 points out of it. And as mentioned before, they are one of only two teams sitting on 6 points after two rounds. Again, it's only two rounds. Know that. But they just look so much different than last year, and they look so much better than last year. They were actually entertaining to watch in that week one fixture, and obviously I've got slightly red tinted glasses on when I watch them, but I'm curious what you gentlemen have picked up watching them. Scott, as a Blue Wings fan, I'll naturally start with you.
I thought they were the best team out of all the teams in K-League after round one.
You heard it here first, Scott Whitelock, love Seoul.
I thought they put in a fantastic performance against Pohang. I mean, Pohang were dreadful, but I mean, the intensity and desire from Seoul to actually win, I still don't think there was that much quality in the final third from Saul. You're relying on a defender to score both goals. The first goal was kind of fortuitous. But they're running, their pressure, they were all over the pitch, just hounding Pohang into mistakes. I think the game against Songnam was like last year's Seoul, though. I thought they were very lucky to win that game. Songnam put them under some intense pressure in the second half, and we're talking about a Songnam team who aren't really that good. I think they lost all that intensity that you saw in that Pohang game. I don't think Park Chul-young really had a great game against Songnam either. I thought I thought he went missing in the second half in particular. If I was a Seoul fan, I'd still be on the fence. One good performance doesn't mean the entire team's changed. But I will say that if they can play to that level that they played against Pohang, they're going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. It's just whether they can actually maintain that level of performance.
I think a lot of it comes down to mentality, though, right? I think that first week, it was the opening game of the season. They wanted to prove something to the fans that came out for that and to show the folks that paid to come into that game that this isn't the team that was there last year. And I think when they went down to Songnam, they fell into that mentality that they fell in all of last year, which was, we're FC Seoul. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did all of last year. They just kept saying, well, we'll win. We're FC Seoul. And I think that's what they did when they went down to Songnam. They just thought, oh, well, these guys just got promoted back up. This will be fine. And that tenacity that they needed wasn't there. But I still think that version, even this past weekend, even in round two, I still think that version was much, much better than anything that we saw last year.
I think the Seoul of last year would have lost that game at Songnam. Yeah, it wasn't as impressive, and I'm not going to do the cliched, oh, that's the sign of champions, whatever. But it is, I think it was a hard-fought result. I think the worrying thing for me as a fan of a club that is a rival of Seoul, and I didn't expect to be worried by him this year, is that the best is yet to come. We haven't really seen Pesic yet.
No.
And Osmar is injured but is coming back. Mm-hmm. And when he's back, he makes a big difference. I think there's more to come from Seoul. And, cautiously optimistic if I was an FC Seoul fan. Best start they could have hoped for.
Am I right in thinking they still have a foreigner slot available as well?
I do believe so, yes. They have Alibayev, they have Osmar, they have Pesic, and I believe that's it.
Avandro has recently left, so yes. They have another foreign spot, so there's still scope for them to actually add to their squad before the transfer window closes.
There are more Vietnamese internationals that need to make their way over.
Well, there's a very unhappy forward in Jeonbuk who has some history with Seoul.
Nope, don't. Adriano.
Well, as we heard from Jose Maria, Adriano's actually injured at the moment, but he does like to put a few red and black spots on his Instagram.
His
and,
Instagram feed. He misses Seoul, we'll just say that. But yeah, I think, like you say, with FC Seoul, I think when Park Dong-jin, a converted defender, and maybe he is a forward moving on in the season, not overly impressed by him up there, but he's done an okay job. I think when you get Pesic in there, that's going to be a much different looking side. And I mean, we'll see, because again, this is early. These are our early observations, but right away, it was just much in the same way that it's been nice to watch Daegu and Gyeongnam play attacking football and play entertaining football. It was nice to just see FC Seoul be a team again. I mean, last year was just so brutal. It was so
beautiful.
Exhausting watching them play.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You mispronounced beautiful.
I did. I'm sorry. The super match is coming up soon, so hopefully.
No, don't talk about that. Come on. I'm already getting enough CRAP from Matt tonight.
He can spell that one. He's good.
Let's not talk about God, Suwon are dreadful in the super match.
Yeah. Well, that one will be interesting.
Nice and 6-pointer for the relegation scrap.
Oh, Matt Bins. Come on.
All right. Well, we'll move on from FC Seoul for the sake of Scott and for probably the majority of our listeners that really don't want to talk about them for that much. Anyway, we are moving on to the league that has just stolen everybody's hearts, as always, and it has nothing to do with the fact that my team are down there for the first time ever. But, boys, K-League 2 is fun.
You say it's stolen everyone's hearts. I think it's stolen a lot of money for people placing bets on them. Right? Because who could have predicted this?
Don't we said this week one, we said this in our preseason chats, don't try to predict K-League 2. Never.
No,
Don't do it.
I somehow managed to find my bottom half of my prediction table reversing all five teams in the top half of my prediction table, mm-hmm. and the four of the five teams in the bottom beat teams in the top. Yeah. So, it's a bizarre league, and it was last year as well.
Yeah.
Great fun to watch.
It really is, in spite of the fact that watching the Dragons has been like the time that I had a tooth pulled out of my head. That was a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun watching them score one goal through two matches. But Jeonnam, Suwon, and Busan were all teams that we expected to do well, and Busan kind of corrected things in week two, in round two. But all three of those teams have looked lost at times. That opening round loss that Busan suffered against Anyang, I think it said two things. I think it said that Anyang might actually be a team that we want to watch. The round two results might beg to differ. But again, this is the fun of K-League 2, that Busan can come out and ship four goals to Anyang. I think that was Anyang's highest goal output, and I know one of them was an own goal, but I think that was their highest goal output in like 3 or 4 years or something like that. So you can have teams come out and do that, and then the next week Busan comes out and you know, shows that they're Busan. But it's been fun.
Mm-hmm. I think Gwangju, no one expected Gwangju to be sitting top right, after no. this. I think most of us predicted that Gwangju were going to finish in the bottom half, but if not all of us.
If you didn't watch the match in round two, Felipe got the easiest hat trick you will ever see a striker get. I mean,
You do have to be there.
But man, they won't come much easier than that. But again, he did well, had himself there for all of them.
Doesn't matter how you score them against the defending champions. 4-0 against the defending champions is a result that nobody could have expected.
A week after Asan just dismantled Jeonnam as well. So
how bad a Jeonnam then? That's the real.
much worse than expected. I mean, Jeonnam, and we really don't have to talk about them for that long because it's not fun right now. But they've brought in two defenders in Kwok and Ansel that they expected to be the center back pairing to carry them forward, and both are out injured right now. So that, and the fact that they look like the exact same team that played last year, that don't know how to talk to each other and cover massive gaps in the field and not jump and leap in on balls and reactionarily just go up to anybody with the ball. It's like watching an under-5s team where they just swarmed with the ball and they forgot that you can play zonal defense sometimes. I don't want to talk. Moving on.
Oh, go on, carry on, Ryan.
No.
I think two very wise people predicted that they wouldn't be champions this year.
Wouldn't be champions, but you still had them in the playoffs.
There's still plenty of time to go.
There's still plenty of time. And the Dragons are going to be fine. You heard it here first, K2 champions.
At least you can't get back-to-backs relegations, mate. You're
not
all right.
Not yet. They're going to open up that pyramid sooner than later. Anyway, speaking of teams that would have been relegated from K-League 2, Jamshil has seen a couple of interesting matches.
Myself, Peter Hampshire, Michael Redmond, we all went to take in the opening at the other game going on at Seoul at that time of the day. But not as good as the other team in Seoul, unfortunately. Gwangju made a mockery of them really early on and then just saw them out. Typical Eland, I guess. The defence was poor, and then as soon as they bring on reinforcements, their new signing Duarte, who had come from Gwangju, decides to lash out at one of his former teammates and gets himself a straight red and, you know, condemns his team to a first defeat of the season. And then this week, they took the lead and then survived two penalties.
Right.
Only to let in an equaliser in the dying minutes. So it's all fun in games down in Jamshil, but they're not at Jamshil anymore now. Off to Cheonan.
Cheonan Eland for a couple of months. But you touched on Ansan for a second, and we can't talk about K2 without the fact that Ansan Greener should really be on 6 points right now. They have to feel hard done. They had two VAR decisions go against them in week one that were questionable. And then in week two to miss two pens. Yes, that's on them. But man, they've just got to be, they have to be feeling snake bit right now, because those are two results that really could and I would argue, should have gone their way.
I would disagree with you. I actually watched that Dejan Nansan game in full. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the K1 game on at the time was, but it wasn't catching my attention. And I watched it, and yeah, Nansan had some dodgy calls against them, but Dejan deserved all those 3 points. They outplayed Nansan in the first half especially, and I think all the good moments in that game actually came from Dejan.
Hard disagree.
Me?
No. I think Dejan...
Let's ask Paul Neat.
Paul, what do you know? I think... Well, speaking of Paul and Dejan fans, I think I would be a little concerned about that back line right now because they look a little more shaky than I expected. Goalkeeper is an issue for them. I would be concerned about that moving forward for Dejan, but Dejan's picking up points right now. They're doing okay. And they're one of the few teams in K2 that are doing all right. One of the few teams that we thought would do all right that is doing all right right now. But, I mean, you know, we kind of joke about this every now and again, but, like, K2 really is always a lot of fun. And right now we've got Gwangju and Bucheon and Anyang in the top four. Again, it's after two rounds. Mm-hmm. Things are going to change, but these are some fun teams to watch. And Anyang, you know, for the vast majority of folks that live here in Korea that are up here in the Gungido area, they're here. Mm-hmm. Their games are easy to get to. Go watch them. They're fun. But, yeah, that's K2. And hopefully it gets a little more predictable in the way that the Dragons just start steamrolling teams, because it's got to happen. But anyway, I am going to go drown my sorrows while we take a quick break. And on the other side, we've got the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at @KLeagueUnited with any questions, comments or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
All right, welcome back to the K-League United podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Walters, joined, as usual, by Matthew Binns.
Hello.
And Scott Whitelock.
Howdy.
Gentlemen, we are into the mailbag, and we've got some good questions in this week. And Matthew, you're going to be leading us through this one. So what's up first?
We've got a question in from Ross Davis on Twitter. Hi, Ross. He goes straight for the jugular. Manager sack race. Two rounds in. Manager sack race. Who's likely to go first? And surely it's at Suwon, he
Scott,
thinks.
Scott, you want to take this one?
Thanks, Ross. Cheers for kicking a man while he's down. but yeah, I'd have to agree, I suppose. We've already talked about it earlier in the podcast. He doesn't seem to have a clue what he's doing at all. He's got next to no managerial experience. He's got no managerial experience within Korea itself. He's only managed as an assistant or 6 months in China. He had a couple of years in Thailand, what, going back 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I don't know. It was a substantial amount of time. And he has no idea what he's doing. I mean, I never thought I'd see the day where I was praying for So Jung-won to return to Suwon, but I am.
Again.
Again. Yeah,
for him to return again.
Yeah, well, to return again and again and again. But what I would say is I don't expect Im Sang to face the sack anytime soon. He's got the job because he's friends with the CEO at Suwon. It was a little bit of nepotism appointment in the first place, and I don't see him going anywhere within at least the first 10 rounds of the K-League. So I don't see any manager getting sacked within the first 10 rounds of the K-League anyway. But
I don't think they'll be that reactionary. But, I mean, look, with the three of us here, it does kind of feel like it's been a bit of a Suwon Jeonbuk Jeonam podcast. And sorry,
Suwon's managerial. I mean, watching it from where I was, it's like he's put two marker pens in each hand, took the caps off them all, and just drawn lines on the whiteboard. They were just going everywhere. Defense. It was no organization whatsoever.
Well, he's left me with egg on my face because I spent half the winter criticizing Jose Moraes, saying he's going to make the crazy decisions. Jose Moraes plays what you'd expect from a Che Kang-hee team, mm-hmm. whereas the Suwon manager comes out and he's the one who's trying to prove, oh, I know what I'm doing. I want to reinvent the wheel. by playing wingers in central areas and playing strikers as holding midfielders.
You can never have too many center backs.
You can never have too many full backs, apparently, according to Ian Seng. Yeah. So an entire back four of full backs with a full back in the center of midfield. Why not?
I also think, and again, it's just a bit Suwon and Jeonnam centric, but again, like after two rounds, these are teams that are sticking out like a sore thumb for not doing well. And I think Fabian Osorio he's got to be on the chopping block soon. Jeonnam have shipped 6 goals in 2 games. That defense was awful last year. The defense is awful this year. It is wretched. It is one of the worst defenses I've seen in Korea again. And they managed to get 1 goal in garbage time. Mm-hmm. These are 2 matches at home, and the manager just doesn't have the team up for it. They don't look up for it. They don't look organized. They don't know what they're doing. So I think if we're talking about managers that are on the chopping block right now, those two have to be leading the way.
I'd say maybe Pohang's manager, his name escapes me at the moment. He might also have his job on the line. I think Pohang were abysmal in the first round. They were much better against Sangju this weekend. Mm-hmm. His job could be in danger if they don't pick up results sooner or later.
I don't know whether I fully agree with that, because they've kind of stuck by him with a few seasons now.
That's Choi Soon-ho there, by the way.
Yes, Choi Soon-ho. But it does bring us on to our next question, which is from Dan Croydon, which is saying, a very disappointing start from Pohang. Dan Croydon, an Ulsan fan.
Speaking of kicking them while they're down, good job, Ulsan.
How long do you think they'll be propping up the table? I think this is quite interesting, because I guess the excuse they would use, and I'm going to justify why it's not an excuse, but they're probably using the excuse that Connor Chapman has left. Now, if you listen to the recent...
That's one player.
Well, yeah, the argument would be that they've kind of built their defence to around having Connor Chapman there in front of it. I mean, Connor, if you've... I fully recommend listening to the Asian game. They've
good
just
interview.
They just spoke with Connor Chapman. He talked about his departure from the league, and it was mainly due to his own medical needs, and he felt it wasn't being handled right at Pohang, and they asked him to terminate. And it's been a disappointing start. They are not really showing anything at the moment, but I think they'll stick by the manager for a bit longer. I think give them till the summer, and they might start coming back when they've had a bit of a signing spree. Or
I don't think... Well, two things, real quick. Best wishes to Connor back down in A-League. Mm. Really enjoyed watching him play here. Quality player. Hope that he can make his way into the Socceroos eventually.
Not very good at penalties on FIFA, though.
the worst part for Matt Binns losing him in K-League is that that story is becoming less relevant.
Should we just rename this podcast to Matt Binns Brags?
The Matt Binns Hour. Yeah. But best of luck to Connor back down in A-League, and hope that things go well for him there. And I think for Pohang, they're not going to be propping up the table for too long, because they're just teams that are not as good as them. I mean, in theory, you know, because I didn't expect Pohang to look quite this inept coming out to start the season. So who knows? But Sangju's not going to be on the top of the table for the whole season. That it's just not going to stay that way.
I'd say don't expect Pohang to get off the bottom until at least the 5th or 6th round, because their next fixtures are against Gyeongnam and Jeonbuk. So that's a tough little run itself.
Well, Seongnam hasn't picked up a win yet either, and that's a team that, you know, we talked about them preseason having concerns that they did not build for K1, and they have not built for K1, and it has showed. They have been exposed the first 2 weeks. They don't have any realistic goal-scoring threats moving forward. Eder is not a man to build a team around. Seongnam fans should be very concerned about going right back down to K2.
It'll be a long season, I think.
Yeah. They'll pick up 3 points next weekend at home to Suwon Blueings. So,
or is that the win that Suwon needs to turn their season around?
Not a chance.
Well, but, that honestly, though, like that would be a really good boost for Seongnam that could... That momentum could propel them a little bit. Unfortunately, that momentum would be coming right before the international break, though. So it'll be interesting, but I don't see Pohang finishing under Seongnam or Sangju this year.
I just got to squeeze this stat in. The game against FC Seoul, the first time since 2013 that Pohang did not have a shot on target. That is poor.
Yeah.
Poor.
That is shocking, actually. Mm-hmm.
Well, going from the bottom end of the table up to the top, and we have a question in from @WellyWolf on Twitter. How would you answer the big question from Media Day? Who's the best placed team to stop Gyeongnam winning the K-League 1 title?
EM Sang said Suwon, so there you go.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Yeah, I think, obviously I'll assume he's a
top-notch level trolling here. Well done.
But yeah, Gyeongnam have been very good this season.
Gyeongnam have been good. They've been a lot of fun. I always want to say that there's somebody that's going to challenge Jungbook, which is, you know, that was the actual question that was asked. But, I mean, Gyeongnam, they've been a lot of fun to watch. They do look pretty lethal. I don't know. It's hard to bet against them, though, isn't it? You know, because last year we thought, oh, eventually they'll fall off, and they didn't. And now this year, oddly enough, even without Markow, I think they're maybe even in a better team because they're not just strictly reliant on that one man that they know they can keep lobbing the ball up to and hope for good things. Again, going back to the conversation that we were talking about with the K-League coaches article about danger zones, that benefits more players than just one. Last year, I think the strategy was over-reliant on Markow, whereas this year, Gyeongnam are playing a more fluid style that benefits a lot more players. So, I mean, maybe they can get up there and challenge Jungbook, but they're going to have to actually beat Jungbook this year. They need to pick up a win against them if that's going to be the case.
They just lost to Incheon, and champions don't lose to Incheon, so no.
Champions don't lose to Incheon. Who did Incheon beat in week 2 last year?
Okay, sorry. I'll rephrase that. Champions don't lose to Incheon unless you spend all the money on all the best players in the league, in which case you will win the league anyway.
I love this podcast. Right. We have a question in from Tom Orrick on Facebook. Hi, Tom. Who do you each think will be the most prominent youth prospect to feature this season?
Well, preseason, I said it was going to be Han Chan-hee for the Jeonnam Dragons down in K2.
How's that working out?
It really well. Really well for me. I think when we're talking about youth players, it's easy to overlook the goalkeeper position. But, I mean, Song Bum-kun he's good. He's really good. I think he's going to have another strong season. And I think Jungbook are going to have to lean on him to make up. Well, the defense is quite strong in front of him as well. I mean, Jungbook's just Jungbook. They're always going to be strong. But he's somebody that I would expect to start sniffing at some of the national team minutes, maybe. I don't know if there are going to be two keepers from K-League because Choi Hyun-woo is not going anywhere in that lineup. So I don't know if he'll be in there anytime soon. But he's definitely somebody I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, I've put him as well, obviously, because it's me. But no, no, I think he's going to be a regular feature again for Jungbook this year. And yeah, it'd be nice to see him if he could make that step up to the national team. I still don't know if he's good enough. I think he is a good keeper. Mm-hmm. I think he was one of the best in the league last season. There was a couple of times against Beijing where I was a bit unsure whether he could have done better. But apart from that, I think he's still one of, if not the best keepers in the league. And to be that good at such a young age, then, you know, well played on him. I'd also be interested to see Han Sung-kyu, how he follows on at Jungbook. He hasn't had many minutes yet. He's had 2 substitute appearances against Daegu and Suwon. Considering he's the reigning young player of the year, I'd like to see how he kicks on at Jungbook as well.
Well, and another player that's stepped up and really impressed in the opening couple of weeks and in ACL is Kim Dae-won with Daegu. Really good midfielder. Looks strong. When we were in Jungbook for the opening game, Kim Hak-bum sat right next to us, and he was obviously one of the players that Kim was keeping an eye on, you know. And he did miss a wide open chance in that game, and we did hear a very audible sigh for that. But getting Champions League minutes, playing with an improved Daegu side that looks to be probably challenging for the top half of the table if they can keep this up, you know, I think mid table was what would have been expected coming into the season, but they look like a side that could challenge for more, and I think Kim Dae-won is one of the reasons that they could do that.
Yeah, and we mentioned it quickly, but yeah, the goal he scored against Jeju at the weekend.
Yeah.
That was a really well-taken goal. It was a short corner out, and he sent 2 defenders to the wrong fire and just unleashed a shot from an awkward angle straight into the top corner. He's a very promising prospect.
Yeah.
Well, I just disparaged Pohang so much, so I'm going to pick a Pohang player. Lee Jin Hyun. He came back to Korea from Austria Vienna after having a disappointing time in Europe. Only played 13 times last season, but ended up with 5 goals, 3 assists. And today he's been called into the Korea squad for the first time for the upcoming friendlies in March. So we could be expecting big things from him if Pohang actually get together and start doing something.
They'll be all right.
Well, I've got 2 more in the mailbag. Got a question in from Kevin on Facebook. Why do most clubs use Korean characters for player names, but Daegu FC use Latin script?
I don't know.
Possibly Daegu have a new kit provider, don't they?
They do.
They do.
So it's possibly from a kit provider's choice.
Actually, speaking with our Daegu columnist Muyol, during opening day, he was talking about Forward and Over the Pitch, the companies that are involved with promoting Daegu's new branding and their new kits. He said that they were very obsessed with using English. Like in the presentations, Forward was using English in their PowerPoints for the presentations and everything else. So I think it might just be maybe trying to appeal to a more international audience. Maybe it's because they're in ACL this year.
Maybe they're having a bit of a special year just because of that.
It's a bit odd to me because the ACL kits are always in English. Yeah. So why not just have the ACL kits in English? And I mean, I love the way that the kits look with Hangul on the back. Like I love the names that way.
I suppose Eland are the only other club that do it though. Eland, famously, we didn't know it well. Rumoured whether it was just because of Martin Rennie was the manager that he needed to read the names on the back. But no, I don't know
we'll
if that is true. It
was kind we'll
of,
get him on the
so they could get Eland to be more appealing internationally, to the international fans in Seoul. And
maybe that's the same thing that Daegu was trying to do with their move downtown closer to the downtown area. And maybe, but I think it was just something that Forward, the kit providers, did to look cool.
I'd probably agree. And it doesn't bother me too much, but I do like to have a Hangul kit. I think as a foreigner, it's kind of like nice to have that. I don't know. It's just
Hangul's a beautiful language.
Yeah.
It looks good. But why mess with it?
Exactly. Yep. Final question, and it comes in from Luke Evans on Facebook. Hi, Luke. any updates to our prediction tables?
Junum down. Shall
we set some rules if you can change one?
Nothing, because it's 2 weeks in and I have a little bit more steel than that. I will be sticking with my table predictions further than 2 weeks. Talk to me again after 10, though.
I put Daegu to finish 10th in the table and I severely regret doing that now. So I'd say move Daegu up in K1 and possibly move Jeonnam to the bottom of K2.
How dare you?
Along with Daejeon, yeah? No.
No, Daejeon are still going on.
Nah, they're doing all right. Yeah. I was quite happy that I put Daegu in 6 now. I'm feeling a bit smug about that, as I always do about everything. I mean, putting Blue Wings in 7th is looking quite optimistic.
Oh, just shut up.
No, but...
next question. Then.
Trolling Scott aside, I'd probably move Pohang down again. I know it's a bit reactionary, but I genuinely...
They look really out of sorts, though.
I wouldn't move them too far down, but they'd be in the bottom half, I think. K2, I'd probably push Gwangju up. I think I had them quite low down.
We'll see if they can hang on.
We'll see how they get on. But
I mean, the biggest question for them coming into this season was, can they replace Na Sang-ho? And I don't know that Felipe is going to replace him. I don't know that he's going to score as many goals as Na Sang-ho did last year. But he is a goal-scoring threat. Well, and that was the big question for Gwangju coming into the season was, could they get somebody up top that's going to scare defenses? And right now, after 2 rounds, he is that guy.
I mean, he did get 7 goals in 15 games for them last season. Yeah. So he did have quite a good goal-to-game ratio. And he certainly got one now this year.
2 clean sheets so far. You only need 1 goal in them games. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
It's also worth pointing out on Gwangju as well, their Captain Yoram, he was at Sangju for the last couple of seasons. He came back to Gwangju at the end of last season. What I saw of him against Seoul Eland, he looked pretty good as well in the center of the park.
Well, Gwangju's another team that has a new stadium to debut next year, so wouldn't it be great if they did that in K1?
Indeed. And I think that'd wrap up the mailbag.
Right. Well, nothing else to make you more smug about Jeonbuk before we get out of here?
One last look at the league table.
Actually, no,
not while Seoul's still there.
Sangju Sangmu, first place.
There was a fact at the beginning. I had a fact all like polished if in case Suwon won this weekend, and it hasn't happened. And that was Suwon hasn't been above John Book at any point in any season since the eighth round of 2014, and they're still quite far away now.
I have a question for you. Why are you so obsessed with Suwon? We're nowhere near you. Nowhere near you. Why are you so obsessed with Suwon?
I just like keeping tabs, that's all.
All right, well, that is going to do it for this edition before these two go ahead and head outside and figure out their differences. In the meantime, if you're listening and you haven't already done so, please subscribe via iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and pretty much wherever you download your podcasts. You can also leave a review on there, and we would love that very much. Again, as we've mentioned before, we do love puns or anything involving any inside K-League jokes, such as Kim Chinook being known as the Wookiee to the foreign fans, which I'll point out, Matt did get an interview with Kim Chinook recently. Maybe you heard that on the Media Day extra that we released, but you did not ask him if he knew about his nickname.
I didn't dare.
Chickened right out of that one. We're going to have to talk to him again. But anyway, if you leave a review for us on iTunes, then we will automatically enter you into a raffle for some gear, some merch that we will have at our live events throughout this season. And as always, you can also listen to us every Thursday on Football Nation Radio down in Australia. That is at 5 p.m. Sydney time or 3 p.m. Korea time. And they've been playing us every now and again on Wednesdays as well. So just follow us on Twitter and you can get it on there. Or if you're in Australia, just listen to them all the time because they literally go 24/7 talking about football down there. So that's going to do it for us this time. For Matthew Binns and Scott Whitelock, I am Ryan Walters. Thanks so much for listening.